Hey everyone, it's Brian. We're headed to Canada today. Very excited about that. But first, let's talk New York and the new Masters of Global Sport program offered at NYU. The geographic boundaries in sports are evaporating. The globalization of sport is a lot more than just foreign-born players playing in domestic sports. It's the exchange of cultures, of business concepts, of league and organizational structures. Our sports world is a global experience, and NYU recognizes that by offering their new Masters in Global Sport. Their 16-month, 36-credit-hour program is made for busy professionals. It's primarily conducted online with 4 weeks total of residency, two of which are in New York, one in Madrid, and one in Tokyo. If you have always dreamed of growing outside of our coasts, this is an opportunity to create a global future for yourself in sports. For more information and to apply for the Masters in Global Sport, visit sps.nyu.edu/globalsport1. One more time. To learn more information about the NYU Masters in Global Sport, visit sps.nyu.edu/globalsport1. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by Canada. This is a good week for Canada. NBA Championship, our first Canadian guest on the show today, the CEO and CMO of WorkinSports.com are both Canadian, and I'm looking at a job right now on WorkinSports.com for the Manitoba Moose as a video content coordinator, and if I was just starting out, I would be all over that job, because Canada's cool, and I like the Manitoba Moose. All right, let's start the countdown. In Canadian!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, director of content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. I was speaking yesterday to a friend of mine from the University of Florida. Sorry, all you Florida State fans. Jake Kernan. Anyway, we were discussing some of the trends he sees in his students and the people he works with on campus. I like to keep up with what's happening at the student level, the trends, the pain points, the problems and fears. And the best way for me to do that is to speak with students and with professors, administrators, and get in the classrooms and do little sessions with different classes. I love those experiences. One of the things we discussed yesterday was online learning, something that we didn't have as I came up in the industry. And what's really cool about online learning from my friend's perspective is that it opens up possibilities for so many more people to be part of the educational experience. I love that. I felt inspired after hearing it. I think back to my college experience. For me, it was never a doubt. I was going to college. You know, like I knew when I was in high school, college was my next step. It's not to say we were rich. We weren't at all. We were firmly middle class, but college was happening for my brother and I. I was going to pick a school, relocate, and live there, and be in charge of my own existence and dedication. This is not a reality for the majority of the world. College isn't a foregone conclusion. It's a dream, a fantasy, a concept that can't be taken for granted. Over the multiple years since I graduated, college has become even more cost prohibitive for many, which means the education gap and in turn the wealth gap has increased. This is scary. We shouldn't be a world of haves and have-nots. I'm not trying to politicize this, trust me, I'm not, but I do believe opportunity should be more readily available. And before some people get on me, I'm speaking of opportunity, a chance to thrive and grow. Online programs, their growth and importance can't be underscored in this scenario. These programs, when done right, and they aren't all, but a lot are, especially at some of the top level institutions who are now investing in this technology, the online programs open up doors for so many people. Those who need jobs to survive the day-to-day, those with physical ailments that may make traditional campus experience difficult, those with complex lives who have uphill climbs but want to better themselves for their future. I choose people for our podcast interviews in executive roles, mid-level managers, entry-level staff, all types of people. But you know the common thread for all of them? They have a college education. Many, in fact, have their master's. They had opportunity to thrive. Again, without getting too preachy, and I'm trying really hard just to speak honestly without trying to sermonize, I realize now more than ever that I had opportunity. I never questioned whether or not I'd go to college. I never doubted I'd get a high-level education and play sports and have equipment and new cleats and someone to drive me to and from practice. I never doubted these things. I was lucky. Not everyone is. Keep that perspective as you walk through your journey. Take advantage of the opportunities you get. Do not feel guilty about them, but you sure as hell better make the most out of them. And look around. Outside your comfort zone. Notice not everyone has it the same way you do. Pick someone else up. Help someone else stand out. Train someone. Mentor someone. Hire someone. That's how you change the world. Today's podcast guest is Greg Amiel, Community Engagement Coordinator for Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group. They're the owner of the Ottawa Redblacks of the CFL, the Ottawa 67s of the OHL, and Ottawa Fury FC of the USL, which means even just 2 years into his postgraduate sports career, Greg has a ton of experience across multiple sports and seasons and needs and different audiences, and there's so much cool stuff that he's done. So let's get into it with Greg Amiel. Hey, Greg, how's it going today?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, this is exciting. I've wanted to have you on for a long time. You're doing some exciting things up north of us, which is, I have to congratulate you. You're my first Canadian guest. Isn't that impressive?
Whoa, holy crap. I mean, I'm honored of that fact that I had no idea that I'd be the first Canadian on here, but I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It's funny because our CEO and our CMO are both Canadian. They're both from Calgary. And you'd think I would have like probably looked for more Canadian guests just to kind of kiss up a little bit. But you're my first. I'm kind of happy about this.
Oh, well, I'm glad to add to the Canadian content of work and sports. It's really cool to hear that. I had no idea even that, you know, you guys had some Canadians on your team. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about. You're pretty early in your career, but you've done a great deal and you've got some really great experience. I believe you're a model for many people approaching graduation to follow in your footsteps. You have a good blueprint going here. So let's start with this. I just spoke a few weeks ago with a professor at the University of Windsor, and that's based in Windsor, Ontario. And he said to me, he said, sports jobs in Canada are much different than sports jobs in the U.S. There's more recreation jobs in Canada than there are jobs with teams. I was kind of stunned by that because obviously there's a large CFL, there's a large hockey, there's a lot going on up there. Do you find that to be true? Is there a different scenario working in sports in Canada, or have you had a different experience of what he kind of outlined?
I'd say he's you know, it makes sense what he's saying. I mean, I've always kind of dreamt of having a chance in my career to work for a variety of different great organizations, and maybe one day I'll make it down to the States. But you know, if you do some math for a quick second, and I've actually done this exercise for myself before, and you look at professional sports teams in just the state of California, they far surpass what we have here in the entire country in Canada, right? And the NFL, we don't have it, but I mean, there's just four, I think, NFL teams in California, a couple of NBA teams, some NHL teams, Major League Baseball, and MLS, right? So I think in the past I've counted it's almost 19 or 20, whereas here in Canada, if you add up what we've got, we don't have NFL. We've got one NBA team, the Raptors, who are having a great run at the moment.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
In the NBA. We've got our six NHL teams. I know that because every Canadian knows we've got six NHL teams. We've got the Blue Jays, so that's our one Major League Baseball team. And then in soccer, you've got the Whitecaps, the Impact, and TFC. So that's, I do the math, hold on, that's 11 major professional teams in our country. And then if you want, you add the nine CFL teams. You've got about the same in our entire country as you do in just the state of California.
Wow.
So it's tricky to find a job in professional major sports here. But, you know, on the recreational front in Canada, there's definitely some incredible opportunity. Our national and provincial sporting system provide tons of opportunity. You know, we're generally, as Canadians, an active nation in a country that really, I guess, prides ourselves on being active, and even if it's minus 40 outside, but you know, coaching and development is something that we see a lot of value in. So finding an opportunity in recreational sports and the sporting system here is equally as important, because I think it's an integral part that feeds its way into, you know, major sport organizations all the way at the top. So
It makes a lot of sense. So you graduated from Concordia University in 2015, and you went right into getting your master's at the University of Ottawa. Why did you decide getting your master's was an important step for you in kind of your career path and what you saw for yourself?
Well, I mean, I think I would even say I was lucky to even get around to making a realization that that was an important step, because before I even started my bachelor's at Concordia, I told my parents I wasn't going to university. I was 18. I was working like a full-time job in the private corporate events industry. It was a great company, making great connections and, you know, learning from mentors. And, you know, but in doing this, I actually gave up something that meant a lot to me, and that was sports, because in the private corporate event industry, you're often working many nights and weekends, and that's the time that you know, sports takes place, whether you're playing it or watching it. So I couldn't really do that anymore, and eventually I did give it to school, and that's a whole other story. But you know, after a few years of finishing school and being in the industry, I figured, you know, I've got this recipe for success, right? Mom and dad sometimes tell you, like, you know, get work experience and get education, and success and happiness should come. But I had this realization that I wasn't really happy with sports not being in my life. So after I graduated, I said, what if I can actually combine my events background, my communications degree, along with sports to actually be able to pursue a career? So exactly what I did. I left my hometown of Montreal, moved to Ottawa, which isn't too far, but I pursued my master's in sports management and kind of just took those two years in my master's to really learn every darn thing I possibly could before going back to work and finding a role in the sports world. So, you know, I often say something that I've heard that one of my mentors taught me was, you could do it right now, or you could do it right, but you can't have both. So for me, being authentic and actually ensuring that I learned to be really well versed and educated on the sport industry by going to get a master's degree, I think, you know, was a thing that took a little extra time, but it turned out to be this really good decision for me to excel down the line today.
I just wrote that down, that you know, you can do it right or you can do it right now. That is good.
You can't have both.
Yeah, but you can't have both. Like, you need that last little part. Yeah. I am terrible at those great little sayings. Like, that's not my thing, and yet when I hear them, I'm always like, oh man, that's good, you know, like I never come up with them. But it seems like every mentor is supposed to have some good quotes like that, and I gotta come up with some. So you, I've talked a lot lately with people who have interned and talked about how that experience interning changed so much of their career focus. You know, sometimes they got clarity into what they didn't like. Sometimes they found out exactly what they wanted to do. While in grad school, you interviewed with the Alouettes of the CFL, the Montreal Alouettes. And tell us, how did that experience help frame your personal goals for the sports industry? How did that start to characterize who you wanted to be? Did it make any difference for you?
I mean, I think you kind of just hit it spot on, right? I had, as I just kind of mentioned, this goal to, while in school, learn as much as I could about the sport event industry in the 2 years that I was doing my master's. So I knew that I wasn't going to become an expert by any means, but I wanted to be at par with, I guess, some of the other candidates that will be coming out of a master's at the same time as me, but also may have done an additional 4 years of undergrad in the field as well. So this internship, I'd say, really allowed me to explore my passion for sports a little bit more that I was missing in my previous job. But more than anything, for me, it really just allowed me to kind of make the realization of say yes to everything. And not just like in a little puppy dog or I'm afraid of my boss or yes man type of way, but in a discovery process, you know, by saying yes to different opportunities, it really allowed me to learn, like you said, the things that I liked, but more importantly, the things that I didn't like. From there, I was, I guess, able to take some notes and realize that when I graduate, you know, the jobs that involve doing X, Y, and Z of things that I don't like doing, maybe I should think a little deeper about applying for that job, because I've experienced those things and don't really enjoy them. But when I'm going to start looking for work and know that there's X, Y, and Z thing, you know, in a role that I absolutely love, that's probably the right type of role for me. So it was more about learning what I liked and didn't like and doing it in an environment that allowed me to learn.
Were there specific things that you didn't like? Were there certain things that stand out to you now that you were like, yep, I was a smart choice to know that that's not who I am and that's not what I like?
Absolutely. I mean, I worked in events and operations there. I did a lot of hands-on work, dirty work, and that's something that has helped shape me. But I said, hey, I've done this. You know, I worked these crazy late shifts after the game, cleaning up the stadium, preparing the stadium beforehand. I actually, you know, I lived with my parents when I spent the summer interning. I lived back at my parents, which is a good 40-minute drive from the stadium. And there were nights before a game, it was so late that I didn't have time to drive back to the house to sleep and have to wait in rush hour traffic in the morning to get back on game day. I would sleep on an air mattress in the stadium. I was fortunate enough that, you know, they allowed me to do that. It was a safe place to do it. But I did some hard work to get there. I'm proud of it, but it allowed me to know. I said, okay, in the future, I'd rather do a different type of hard work and less on the physical side. But like I said, it shaped me and it made me recognize and know what I enjoy and what I enjoy a little less.
So I noticed in your experience, you were very active volunteering as well. Skate Canada 2017 National Skate Championships, Canadian Sport Tourism Alliance, Canadian Paralympic Committee. So what was your experience in volunteering? Were there pluses and minuses as you compare it to interning and being in maybe a longer term role with the Alouettes? And how did it differ in the volunteering experiences?
Well, you know, I like that question because I think there is a difference between the experience that I had interning and volunteering. You know, you say pluses and minuses. I'd say on the minus side, they're super short experiences. Some of these events, they last a single day. Canadian Skate Championships were 10 days. But, you know, if you compare that to my internship, it lasted an entire football season. It's different. So you have to learn to really soak in this experience and gain some knowledge really quickly in a short amount of time. But on the plus side, you know, these volunteer experiences really gave me some additional chances to really learn within that 2-year time window that I had of my master's and experience some of the sports that, you know, I've never even really been around. Like, I've never been around figure skating or even much Paralympic sports. And then being around Paralympic athletes, like, that's a whole different world that we don't generally think of because it's not always on primetime TV and so on. But, you know, it also, I would say, allowed me to make a lot of contacts in the industry because, you know, some of these events, the Canadian Sport Tourism Alliance, Sport Event Congress, which I've volunteered at several years. There's like several hundred industry professionals in the same room for 3 days at a time at this conference, right? Like 400 people from Canada and US that work in sport. And that's like an amazing place to be able to make connections. So, you know, my internship, I was working with, you know, a dozen or so people throughout the summer, the same group and team of people, great contacts to make. But when you really want to spread that out, the upside of volunteering and taking part in these quick multi-day events means you can meet a ton of people at the same time. So that was really a valuable experience, sprinkling those into my schedule. Even as a student, you know, it's hard, but if you can go do a couple of hours here or there in between classes or after classes, it really benefited me because some of the people that I met at some of these events were the ones who helped me get the job that I have today.
It really helps bulk up your resume too, because you have those things that stand out, you know, those events that you're a part of. When it says National Skate Championships, it's like, oh, all right, this person's been out there in some major events and they want to get into event marketing. It just all starts to make sense. You also, you mentioned a lot in there about networking and making contacts. You seem to be a very outgoing person. You check out your LinkedIn profile and you're not afraid of the microphone or crowds. You know, you're a pretty comfortable guy. I'd imagine you're pretty comfortable getting to know people. What has been your approach to networking and meeting people in the sports industry and turning those into important relationships for you?
Well, I mean, and networking for me is everything. It's really opened a lot of doors. You know, you mentioned my activity on LinkedIn. For me, it's a platform that I check and use every single day. You know, I've even written articles on there. I wrote one while I was looking for a job that had a lot to do with the crossover etiquette of in-person networking and online networking.
I read it. It was very good.
Oh, yeah? Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, when I network, I often aim to, you know, as hard as this can be for a lot of people, and I understand we're all different, but You know, I think the first thing I try to do is put myself in a state of vulnerability a little bit. It's a position that is, you know, straight up discomfort. But if you're trying to chat with people and it doesn't turn out to, you know, the way that you want it to, I mean, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? That's probably a sign that, you know, maybe there's no connection there, and that's okay. But if you put yourself out there, more often than not, there'll be, you know, something good that comes back. So, you know, obviously the traditional stuff, finding out their names and what they do. But I think where I like to really try to go right away is in listening to them, is try to find some stuff that I can relate to on my end that they're talking about, to demonstrate that we've got this mutual connection between one another, by asking them some more questions and learning about it. Right. So, to go back to it, I do the same on LinkedIn, right? And I'll encourage other people to do the same. Like, if you're going to send me a LinkedIn request, don't just hit the button to add me and then not engage with me if we don't know each other. I compare it to, you know, being at a networking event, whether it's a cocktail or something like that, any sort of event, and you're not talking to anybody, but you're just walking up to them, looking at them, handing them a business card, turning around and walking away and expecting them, you know, to know what you do. You know, but online, like, you can act the same way you would in a networking event when you send a LinkedIn request, and just kind of shooting somebody a brief message or a note, letting them know kind of what you're up to, why you want to connect with them, how you can help each other. Those are the things that you do when you're in person, right? So maybe, you know, it's not being able to help each other today or tomorrow, but maybe it's next month or in a year or two, but at least you're finding out where that connection exists. So, you know, I think there's, in this day and age where a lot of younger folks are so, you know, glued to technology, computers and cell phones and stuff, where I see sometimes we're losing some of these social skills, and that's fine. But I think if you practice the type of etiquette that you do online in person, or vice versa, in person online, it makes it a lot easier to be able to connect with people and have genuine interactions with them.
It is so true. And you hit the nail on the head there. I get so many connection requests per week, and 80% of them, somebody asks to connect. They don't say anything. They don't say anything afterwards. They don't have a conversation with me. They don't, nothing. And it's like I always sit there wondering to myself, like, well, what was the point of that? Like, what was the point of that activity by that person? They didn't get anything out of this connection. If they even came to me 6 months from now asking for something, I'd be like, I don't know who you are. You haven't built any relationship with me. And I think that's a perspective that more people need to have, is that it's not really networking, it's relationship building, right? And it's a process and it's work.
Absolutely. And, you know, I pride myself on, like I said, trying to remember people's names. And obviously it's great, you know, things like LinkedIn, it allows you to have a name and a photo. So sometimes it's a little hard because some people have some more common names, and there's a lot of people in the industry. But, you know, I pride myself on being able to, you know, if you hit my screen and said, okay, who's so-and-so and what do they do, or how do you know them? I'd at least be able to say, oh, I think they're at this organization, or this is how I met them. Right. And just try to have a bit more of a genuine connection, you know, and worst case, like, you can clean up your LinkedIn profile as well. Like, if you accidentally delete a connection, guess what? Well, you could just click on the button and reconnect and apologize and say, whoops, I didn't mean to do it. But hey, how have you been? What's going on? And regenerate that connection with somebody. So.
Yep, it's so true. So April 2017, just after finishing your master's, you get hired by the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, which is home to the Ottawa Red Blacks, Ottawa Fury FC, Ottawa 67s, and live events at TD Place. I'll make this rather blunt. Why did they hire you? I'm sure there were lots of people that applied. I mean, seriously, like, I'm sure there's always lots of people that apply for these jobs. What was it about you?
Man, you're putting me on the spot.
I know, right?
You know what? I'll be honest. I think, you know, this, I sold them on being me. And I don't say that like, hey, like, I'm unique and compared to your other candidates, but like, I'm truly me and I'm not going to pretend to be something different. A lot of different jobs, sometimes when you're trying to get into sports, like, you tweak or adjust who you are to fit the build. But you know what I aim to do is find the job that really fits my skills and experiences, as well as some of the passions that I have. So I was really able to demonstrate to them. And, you know, I think I also sold myself through that hiring process, I'll encourage others who are listening to do this and applying for jobs or internships. But, you know, just because I had 7 years of work experience in private corporate events and a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree, it doesn't mean that I know everything, you know. Even though school is done, I kind of carry this mentality still till this day of, you know, I'm never really done being a student. I'm here to learn. And no, I don't know it all. And if I knew it all, what is this company and the management here going to teach me in this more junior position? So I think obviously when I was in this hiring process, I had to remain open-minded. And I think that's something that they really liked about me, and, you know, stay confident in your interviews. And that's always something I've made sure to do, but, you know, demonstrate that there's this room to grow and not be afraid to say it, because I think that shows initiative of saying, hey, I'm open to stuff and I want to learn from here. And I think they really like that about me.
Yeah. And you used the word vulnerability earlier, and I think that applies in this process as well, is that there's power in vulnerability. And sometimes when you're open to that and saying like, hey, I don't know it all and I need to learn and I want to grow, and that can be very empowering things. So that's great. Lately, I've talked a lot about how I think job seekers can go into, especially their first job, with a very company focused approach. Like, who do I want to work for? Where do I fit? Rather than just looking at roles. When you look now, why was Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group such a great match for you?
Well, I kind of had my eye on them the second I moved to Ottawa and started, you know, the first few weeks of my sport management master's degree. Some of the professors and some of the students as well were saying OSEG. And I said, what's OSEG? I was learning like all these new acronyms in school that from the industry, and like, oh, Ottawa Sports Entertainment Group, you know, they own the Red Blacks, the Fury and 67th. I said, wait, no, but that's a thing in sports. That's how I didn't know about sports at the time, that you could be an ownership group that owns multiple teams and wait, I could eventually work there and work for all three at the same time. So I said, wow, that what an incredible fit that would be, especially early on in my career where, you know, I could work in football. I could work in soccer and hockey. That really helps me diversify my experience when I want to, you know, eventually, you know, grow into new opportunities in the future, that, you know, I have experience in all three different sports. And if I want to, you know, narrow in on one or another type of sport one day, I've got that experience, and it's drastically different. I'll tell you, the sports fans, the way we connect with different people, the way we market the team, it's so different. So I'm so pleased that I ended up choosing an organization that fit me early on in my career to hopefully allow me to excel down the line some more. So
I would imagine that each team has a different style of fan base. They have different needs. They have different wants. They have different approaches to things. How hard is that to kind of know how to communicate and market to and engage with totally different audiences throughout the year?
Oh, it's a challenge that we face every day. And imagine, like, you know, sometimes if you have another major team in the city that's not owned by the same ownership group, you're kind of looking at how do we, you know, get some of their fans and you know, we get, you know, vice versa, that we exchange fans, but we own all three of these teams. So sometimes it's like we're taking different fans away from our own self, you know, right, and trying to really promote these teams. But one of the cool benefits is there's a lot of crossover between our fans, right? A lot of our hockey fans who love, you know, this high speed, high impact sport, love football. And those who like football in a tactical sense, but maybe less in a, you know, physical sense, enjoy coming to soccer games, being outside. The team plays in the same stadium in the summertime, and nice weather, you know, beers, all that kind of stuff. Like, it's really cool to learn the interdependencies between our fans, and also learning how we have to make sure that each individual grouping of fan is looked after, so that, you know, they don't fall off, and we keep them coming back to games and engaging with our team and our brands.
You said summertime and beer, and I kind of zoned out there for a second.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm kidding. So we should probably go back for a second and talk about your role specifically. What does it mean to be a community engagement coordinator for all these teams? What is your role like on a day-to-day kind of basis?
All right. Well, you know, my role consists of a lot of things, and I'll tell you, like, it's a privilege to be in the spot that I'm in, but as the title describes itself, community engagement coordinator. Myself and my colleagues in the community department, what we do is we look after several aspects of the engagement of the three teams at Ottawa Sports Entertainment Group. So, you know, I'll say, like, you know, as a marketing guy, I often tell people, you know, my job is to make people understand or realize that sports is just bigger than wins and losses. And sports has this wildly kind of powerful way to connect us. It still blows me away all the time. So for me, I guess my role is to work really closely with our athletes and other team assets, like our mascots as well, our cheer and dance team, to really develop ways to make the Red Blacks, Fury FC and 67's brands accessible to people. Allow, I guess, the city of Ottawa to really connect and feel like they truly know our athletes, they know our team, they know about us and deeper levels than just we're the team and this is how many wins we have on record and how many losses and this is where we are in the standings. Kind of want them to not always have to care where you are in the standings to be a fan, that they care really about who you guys are, you know. So kind of building a relationship with people and not this transaction. I guess my role allows me to aim for people's hearts and not necessarily their wallets all the time, which is a common thing in the sport industry with advertising, marketing, and sales and all that, right? So it's a really kind of cool thing to be in the role that I'm in.
I will tell everyone that Greg is a great connection and follow on LinkedIn because he shares a lot of the, you know, the photos and the engagements that they do as part of their organizations. I have to imagine, well, actually, you tell us, what's it like when you're going in with the athletes or with the mascot or with the, you know, cheer squad or whatever it may be, when you're going to an event at a school or what have you, and just seeing their reaction and the students and the people and the craziness, what does that feel like for you?
Well, it's a fun feeling for sure. You know, I ask many athletes, other than you know, probably winning a championship that they've, you know, been working so hard for their entire careers, or, you know, probably being able to inspire, you know, the champions of tomorrow is probably one of the coolest and probably the biggest privileges of their job, right? So I've seen kids that are, you know, just completely starstruck and are the ones that just want autographs. But, you know, I'll tell you this too, that my role has also kind of given me this opportunity to see some life-changing stuff as well. So myself and my colleagues, we work really closely with our athletes, you know, on our public speaking programs that we do at schools. And I've seen firsthand also how an athlete can impact, and in fact, it makes me, you know, a little choked up at times, but seriously, I've seen it save a teenager's life before. And I've got this thank you email from a guidance counselor that hangs on my desk still till this day, as, you know, interactions, you know, like some of these that are a little bit deeper, are probably what inspire me the most, and I think what inspire the players as well. When you see the deep connections that you can create, and like I said, as far as what I would have never expected, turned a kid around and helped save a life of someone who was in a bit of trouble. So
it's so important to have perspective, and the fact that you're saying that you take this job and your role is so much more important than wins and losses, and the ability to show the athletes as people and to see the change happening, not just hear about it, but to see the change happening in people. I can tell how much of a difference that makes for you, and I'm sure for the athletes as well. So when you operate in this world, in these community worlds, there's a lot more. I mean, there's the events and there's the media appearances, but there's also a lot of planning that goes into these events as well. What advice would you give someone who's considering event management that could possibly help them feel more confident when they get ready to enter that real world?
Well, yeah, I mean, I love a good advice question. Let's see. I'll say two things on this that I think have served me really, really well. And hopefully that'll help other people too. I kind of said this earlier when referencing, I guess, my internship, but you know, say yes to stuff and get involved, because you never know what you're going to learn and what you'll fall in love with if it's a certain aspect of events that, you know, you probably had no idea existed before. Or on the flip side, you learn that you don't like doing this. You know, sometimes you do have to do it all, but hopefully if you've got a good team around you, you learn to balance each other out and help each other. But I guess the other thing that I would say, if you're somebody who's, you know, still in school or you're finished school and then looking for work and you've got a little bit of more spare time right now, as you're getting started, start thinking of things that others haven't thought of yet. And I know that's kind of a bold statement, but event people really like to be wowed. So starting to find ways to excel and do well, you need to start thinking of something different. So challenge the status quo and be creative, but I'll say back up what you're saying, right? Just have reasoning to your decision. And as I kind of learned while in the corporate private industry, you can kind of say the same thing. Start thinking of something that others haven't thought of yet. Could also mean things where you recognize, you know, that an event that has, you know, hundreds if not sometimes thousands of little elements to it, you need to anticipate kind of every scenario around each of these different elements, and just because you wrote it out or drew it out in a certain way, it's probably not going to take place that way. So kind of be ready and have thought of something the others haven't thought of to be able to kind of react to those and then action on those elements, because I think that will help you really stand out from the rest. There's a lot of people in events. We all think of the basic things. There's lists online that you can look up. But when you think of things that others didn't think of, that'll really help, I think, separate you and make you a viable candidate for getting into the event industry.
It sounds like such a cool opportunity to be connected to the creative side, but then there's also this, you know, planning and organizational side. It's almost like you're a right brain, left brain scenario where you have to be able to tap into both sides, your ability to organize, your ability to be creative, your ability to push the envelope, and then to connect with fans. It's like there's so many different parts of your role that you seem like you're well tapped into.
For sure. I mean, like I said, I think that's what allows you to separate yourself from others is thinking of those little elements. The rest, there might have been people who did it before you. They thought of those things. You're picking up where they left off, and what are you going to do to make it different and make an impact on it?
We'll finish up with this, Greg. This has been an incredible interview, and there's so much advice that you've shared that I'm sitting here as I'm listening to you talk that I'm nodding my head like, oh yeah, I see it the same way. So there's a lot of great advice you're sharing here, and I hope everybody's really digging in and paying attention. But we want to finish up with this. Canada has long been known as our kinder, gentler neighbors to the north, but you've had kind of a rough week. The sports debate shows here in the States have been all over the Toronto fans for cheering when Kevin Durant got hurt. You have the floor. You have the mic. Defend your fellow Canadian sports fans. Tell us the truth about these gentle souls. Because right now, everyone wants to, like, I don't know, assume that all of a sudden everyone in Toronto is like Oakland Raiders fans who are just like, I don't know, wanted to throw batteries at people. You're getting some bad press. So in your own words, you have the mic, you have the floor. What are we missing about the Canadian sports fan?
I mean, we're good people. I'll tell you that, like, you know, obviously in working in sports, I've learned that, you know, that media obviously loves a good story.
Yes.
You know, somebody that I know in media here in the city once kind of told me in this debate, he goes, and it's all about CCC. I said, what? So, you know, even Brian, I'll ask you, you worked for many media organizations, yeah. You know, I've heard through the podcast and then through knowing you, you know, CNN and other media outlets throughout the years. Have you heard that saying? It's all about CCC.
I'm guessing clicks are in there somewhere. So just getting more clicks on your website. What else would the other C's be? Go ahead. Tell me.
It's your
controversy.
Controversy creates cash.
Yeah, controversy creates cash. Okay, good. I like that. I was thinking controversy.
Know, I like it, but it's also a saying that I almost don't like because I've seen the negative effects it can have. The media can have on athletes, on fans as well. By, you know, just for the sake of generating attention or generating money to a story, you know, it's an unfortunate aspect of the business, but, you know, I've been watching the NBA finals really closely, obviously because of the Raptors being involved. And I'm in awe, you know, there's some stars like, you know, Shaq and Steph Curry and even LeBron James in the past, you know, they've got a lot of love for Canada. I think we're some good people up here. And obviously it's easy for media to take a chance to harp on Canada because maybe I might be biased, but there's a lot of good up here, and it's sometimes hard to find bad things to create a story. But, you know, KD is an incredible athlete, and since I get to work with athletes every day, it was truly awful to see a guy like Kevin Durant go down like that. You know, he's hands down one of the best players in the league, and nobody wants to see that, right? I think the reaction from the fans in the stadium was quite wrong, to be honest. But I think on the flip side, it almost shows like what a threat this guy is in the NBA, and it speaks volumes to his dominance that you're almost wanting to cheer that he's out, but wait, no, hold on. And it's just the instant reaction that makes you pull back and realize, no, that's the wrong reaction. But, you know, I think like many Canadians, we hope to see this guy back, you know, starting the season on the floor next fall. But, you know, I actually woke up this morning and I was scrolling through some news, and yeah, I think in good Canadian fashion, as you know, we have this tendency to say sorry for things a little bit too much, but a group of Canadians actually created a GoFundMe page and raised over $20,000 for Kevin Durant's charity.
No way.
To help. Yeah, to help, you know, this is going to help enrich the lives of some at-risk youth and low-income backgrounds and stuff. So, you know what, after all, I think after that, I'd say we're pretty good people up here.
No doubt. I think you handled your defense of the Canadian sports fans very well and bringing some research to it, too. I love that. I will say.
Well, it's just this morning that I thought and I said, you know, was blown away. And it's funny that you asked that because I was looking at this, even myself going, that is classic. Yeah. I saw that some fans even sent flowers to the Warriors organizations with sorry notes, I didn't mean it, or type things like that. So traditional kind of stereotypical Canadian, I am sorry, but I think we're good people up here. We love our sports as much as you guys do south of the border. And yeah.
That's great. Greg, awesome job today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Such great information and such great energy to it. Thanks for coming on, man. I really enjoyed talking to you.
It's been a pleasure, Brian. I appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
Thanks to Greg. I'm so excited to have our first Canadian guest. A lot of enthusiasm for Canada today. Greg brought up so many interesting concepts for starting out and growing in your career. What an awesome guy. Thanks, Greg, for coming on. Thanks for listening to you. Remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Write us up a great review and share with your friends. Let's keep growing this thing. You know the drill. Time to get back to work.